Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. It's the day before New Year's Eve, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf is back.
I'm so glad to be back. Thank you so much, Lisa. I have a little bitty cold, but I'm good to go.
Little bitty cold?
Just a little teeny tiny one.
Well, you're a teeny tiny person.
Well, I'm glad to be back, and I'm excited to be here.
Well,
I missed you
good
guys.
To have you back.
Thank you.
This is program 245 in the series. It is December 30th. This will be our last show of 2017 because we're not going to be here tomorrow. We're off tomorrow. So this is our New Year's show. We have New Year's classic radio shows for you, including the Jack Benny program, New Year's Eve show from 1947, Gunsmoke with William Conrad and the Great Gildersleeve, a good New Year's double date show. Our producer is Curtis Koch. He is in the booth. Hi, Curtis. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Excellent. Happy New Year's Eve to you.
Yeah, happy New Year's Eve to you, too.
And we're glad to have you with us.
Yes, we are.
Another thing you forgot to mention, this will probably be your last show of 2017 in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Really?
Of 2017.
Why? Yes. Because they're going to shut this studio down here?
Well, no, we're moving.
I know, but we're not moving.
It's your last show down here in 2017.
I gotcha. I see.
It takes him a while, but he gets there.
I like doing it in
the showcase here.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll still do it up until when we move.
That's
but
true.
Of 2017.
This is true.
One.
Very true. Good observation, Curtis.
That's what I'm here for.
They pay you the big dollars. And not us.
So true.
All of this is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor is one of Carl's favorites, and he stars in the upcoming film Dragged Across Concrete, about two policemen who get suspended when a video of their strong-arm tactics reaches the media.
Okay.
And the winner is going to get a MyPillow, which is the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, and I can vouch for that.
Okay. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor is the star of the Lethal Weapon films.
Hey, you want to see crazy?
Who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Win a MyPillow. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our New Year's Eve show. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
Hey, you want to see crazy?
And we've got David on the line. Hey, how are you?
Oh, wait a second.
Wait, where's David?
You got David?
Oh, he's coming. Hello? Oh, no.
Okay.
All right, well.
I don't know how to do that.
Uh-oh.
Hang on. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I figured
glad.
It out.
Carl's on
Our
it.
Our producer usually puts the people on the phone, and but we figured it out.
We're all good. Hi, David. How are you?
I am most satisfactory, to quote Nero Wolfe, the version played by William Conrad.
Well, I am as well. We're so glad that you called in, and I'm guessing you know who that actor is.
That is Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson is right, David. You are a winner. We are so thrilled to give you a MyPillow. It's guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. You can visit MyPillow.com for more information. Of course, you've just won it, so congratulations.
That is slicker than snot on a doorknob.
Yes, it is.
It can be very slippery, that snot on a doorknob.
Those doorknobs get really, really
and Lisa's,
snotty.
Lisa's kind of...
I get my zip code, though.
And Lisa's sick right now, so
I'm kind of
being
a little slippery, snotty.
Of all the doorknobs.
I tried the Wisconsin cure, which is hot tea, sour soda, Honey and brandy.
Couldn't do it. No, yuck. I think I'd be sicker.
Sour soda.
I think just some good rest.
Well, like
quart
or 50-50.
Some good, a good night's sleep will help me. But thank you so much, David. It's great to hear from you.
Outstanding. It's been great to hear from you, and welcome back.
Thank you so much.
From the purgatorial heat of Florida to the bone-chilling cold of Chicago.
Exactly. Just about 80 degrees
hence
difference.
Her cold.
I'll be fine.
Happy New Year, David.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, and you have a very good year, and have fun.
Thank you.
All right, Lisa Wolf, he is a big winner, and so are our listeners, because we have classic radio shows, New Year's Eve shows. You did a good job picking these shows out.
And you know what? Our listeners are happy with this lineup, so feeling really good about this.
Yeah, Jack Benny, Gunsmoke, and the Great Gildersleeve.
Right, classics of the classics.
My brother looked at the lineup, and he said, outstanding Jack Benny, outstanding Gunsmoke, Great Gildersleeve.
What?
He doesn't like the Great Gildersleeve.
No, but most people do.
I know. But my brother, my crabby brother, who was here last
people
week.
He said he wasn't as crabby as you'd say, but
he was on his best behavior. He was putting on a happy face because he was here. But man, you should see what he's like in real life, folks.
Oh, I've seen him.
Let me tell you. One crabby guy. But I love him. I love him. All right. So it's Jack Benny to start things off. But I do want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line, and Lisa loves, absolutely loves when you text in.
I do.
So gives her something for her thumbs to do.
Just my thumbs. That's all it does. 312-981-7200.
Text us in, 312-981-7200. It's time for our first New Year's Eve show. And on this program, Mary Livingston, Jack Benny's real-life wife, but his kind of girlfriend on the show, she's sick like Lisa, but she didn't show up where you did.
I thought about it. I thought about it.
And so Alice Faye takes over her role. And this is a great show from December 28th, 1947. Here's part one now of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back about an hour to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where Jack has just finished having his lunch.
It was a very good lunch, Rochester. The best hash that I've ever tasted. What did we have last night?
Hash!
Oh. Well, I got to rush over for my broadcast, so let's get these dishes washed.
I'll do them.
No, Rochester, I'll do them. I want to try out that new electric dishwasher I got for Christmas.
But, boss, there's something wrong with it.
Oh, nonsense. You probably don't know how to operate it. I'll show you how. Now, you put the dirty dishes in like this. And close the door. Now you turn on the switch. There, that ought to be enough. And now to take out the dishes, and you open the door like this.
There's something wrong with it.
Well, there shouldn't be. It's a new machine. I'm going to try it again. Get some more dishes out of the cupboard.
But, boss...
Open the cupboard.
Okay.
What was that?
The dishes I washed yesterday.
I can't understand what's wrong.
Neither can I. I put it together the same day that I assembled the other kitchen appliances.
I don't see why it should break the dishes. It looks all right from the outside. Let's take a look on the inside. Oh, for heaven's sake. Rochester, the egg beater belongs on the Mixmaster. not in the dishwasher.
Then I must have put the part from the dishwasher on the Mixmaster.
Why?
This morning I tried to make a cake. When I turned on the switch, a big arm came out, grabbed me by the back of the neck, threw me in the bowl, and scrubbed me on both sides.
Well, What?
And before I knew it, I was sitting in the cupboard on the third shelf.
See, they even put them away for you. Well, Rochester, call the appliance company and tell them to come out and fix the machine. I got to get down to the studio.
But, boss, you can't go in those old clothes and you need a shave, too.
I haven't got time now. I'll clean up at the studio. Now, go out in the garage and get the car, please.
The car ain't running.
Rochester, did you wreck the car?
Well, boss, it wasn't my fault.
What happened?
Well, I took the car out for a while last night, and on my way home, I made a sharp turn and came face to face with a steamroller.
Steamroller? Oh, so that's why you were so quiet when you got home last night. I didn't even hear you open the garage.
I didn't have to. I slid the car under the door.
Rochester, you mean my car was flat and that thin?
If I had a stamp, I could have mailed it to you.
Oh, well, you better get it fixed. Anyway, I'll take the bus down to the studio. So long, Rochester.
So long, boss.
Gee, I'll be late. There should be a bus coming along here. Oh, my goodness, I left my money and my other clothes. Well, maybe I can hitch a ride down. Here comes a car now. Going downtown, bud? Uh-oh, here comes another. Going downtown? Going downtown? See, that one had a trailer on it. Well, maybe I better start walking. Gee, if I don't get a hit soon, I'll be late for the broadcast. Hey, going downtown, mister?
Yeah, hop in, bud. Move over, Sophie.
Let him sit in the back.
Yes, yes, the back's all right. I hope I'm not putting you folks in too much trouble.
That's all right, bud.
You see, I would have taken the bus, but I didn't have the money.
You don't have to explain, bud. Sophie slipped the poor guy a buck.
But I don't need
to. Give him an extra 2 bits. He needs a shave, too.
Look, mister, I don't
Where
need...
Where you going, bud?
To NBC.
How do you like that, Sophie? Instead of looking for a job, he goes to see radio programs.
Yeah, he's probably too old to work anyway.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, bud, how old are you?
38.
Hey, Max, did you hear what he said?
Sophie, when you can't hold a job, your family throws you out, you bum around the country all your life, when you get to be 38, you look like that.
Look, mister...
Nothing personal, bud. Hey, by the way, where do you live?
Beverly Hills.
Yeah, him, Sophie. Beverly Hills. I suppose you have a big house and a butler and a swimming pool?
Max, stop teasing him.
Okay.
Gee, it's a nice car you have here. What kind is it?
A Buick.
Oh, boy, I wish I had one like it. What year is it?
1928.
Gosh. Boy, this is a beauty.
Turn on the radio, Sophie.
Did I tell you about the place called Doo-Wah-Diddy? It ain't no town, it ain't no city, it's awful small.
Hey, they started the program without me.
She's got baked
It's my own fault.
Sophie, turn off the radio.
Basement full.
What's griping you, bud?
Plenty. They started the program without me.
How do you like that, Sophie? This bum's got a ticket to the program, and he wants him to wait till he gets there.
Now, wait a minute, mister. You can't talk to me like that.
All right. Calm down.
I won't calm down. Do you know who I am?
Sure. You're Bing Crosby or Bob Hope or Jack Benny.
Max, for heaven's sake, stop teasing him.
Okay, Sophie. Turn on the radio again.
Hey, Donzie. Donzie, what did Jackson get you for Christmas? Shoelaces again?
No. Jack didn't know what to get me this year, so he came over to my house and painted my bedroom. Hey, Phil, how'd Santa Claus treat you?
Oh, great, Donzie, great. I got a lot of stuff for my friends, but the best gift of all is this fountain pen. Just look at it.
But, Bill, you have several fountain pens.
Not like this one. You know that little sack inside that holds the ink?
Yeah.
Bourbon.
Bourbon?
Yes, sir. I got the only fountain pen with a highball point. And if he thinks that's funny, he's got another...
Sophie, turn off the radio. What's griping you now, bud?
Nothing. I just didn't think that joke was funny.
Oh, I suppose you can tell him better.
You're darn right I can tell him better. Did you hear the one about
Hey, shut up!
Sophie, turn on the radio.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, as long as Jack isn't here yet, we'll keep things rolling with a number from our singing star, Dennis Day. Go ahead, Dennis.
The stars will remember the night we said goodbye. The stars will remember, so will I. Brought a sigh. The stars will remember, so will I. And now the stars and I, we share the lonely lane. But in my solitude, it seems I hear you call my name. The world may forget you as time goes passing by. The stars will remember, so will I.
All right, that's the first portion of the Jack Benny New Year's Eve show. Although this broadcast was December 28th, 1947, but it was their New Year's Eve show. Just like we're a day before New Year's Eve. What are you doing tomorrow? Are you going to stay home?
Yeah.
You're a little sick?
You know what?
Cold.
I've been gone for a couple weeks, and
yeah.
I'm home, and it'll be just kind of nice to stay home.
Yeah.
And do nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
I don't have plans yet. I have no plans yet.
But you got about a day to figure
what
it
doing.
Out.
Yeah. So if any of our listeners want to invite me over for New Year's Eve, I'll just show up.
Yeah, I bet you will.
I really don't have any plans yet. I haven't decided.
That's okay. You're
My
allowed
son,
to stay home.
Who I would normally do something with, is going to go downtown with his mom and his sisters.
Well,
that's
good.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's just
But
too
I'm
cold.
Not invited, so.
You won't have fun. You're better off
I
not.
Would rather just probably, I've been watching The Office.
Yeah, I started doing that in
the
Florida,
very first
too.
Episode.
I did the same thing.
I'm on season 5. One of the most brilliant series of all time, The Office.
You know, on the way to the radio station tonight, I was listening to Howard Stern because, you know, he's my favorite.
Yeah,
and
other
he was,
than me. You like
yeah,
me
yeah,
first,
yeah,
then
he's
Howard
He's second
Stern.
To you.
Right.
And I was listening to an interview that he did with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his comedy and his new show on Netflix.
Right,
and his,
he has a new, yeah.
Yeah,
gig
and
on
his,
Netflix.
He's got all sorts of things going on, and he's one of my favorites as well.
Very funny, too. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. Our listeners are making Lisa feel better because they're texting in by the droves. Lisa loves when you text in. Our text in line is 312 877-381-7200. And do text in. And a happy new year, everyone. I hope everyone has a wonderful 2018. And you know what? Lisa posted all kinds of pictures today of all these radio stars. Thanks for doing that, Lisa. Just go to WGN Radio Theater when you go to Facebook, yep. right? Search yep. us.
Yeah, I did post a picture of us with Tom Hush. I'm going to take it down because I thought he was our producer tonight. Last I heard, he was. But we have Curtis. We're happy with Curtis. I'm going to take down the picture with Tom. He doesn't count
Tom's
tonight.
A little taller than Curtis.
He's a little taller than Maybe. Everyone. He's yeah. about the same as you, though.
Right. I'm very tall.
6'4", 6'5".
Yes. I'm 6'3 and a half.
Yeah, you're so close.
Yeah. All right. Well, do text us and go to Facebook and also check out our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. I just posted the new schedule all the way through March, so you'll know what we're airing here every single Saturday and Sunday. And don't forget, we are here on Saturdays and Sundays from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m., although tomorrow night we will not be here. We're off for New Year's Eve. But it's time for WGN News at 11:32. Here's David Jennings.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, David. How are
See?
You? Happy New Year, sir.
Huh?
How are you? How you doing?
I'm good. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, David.
I have a very important question to ask you.
Yes?
What does it mean if you were born in September? Any idea? It means that your parents started out the new year right.
I should have known that was coming.
Good one, Carl. Good one.
See? Yeah. Sometimes I have a...
Sometimes you hit
it. That was a doozy, right, Curtis?
Right on.
David?
Well, I'm a September
like
birthday, so...
And what month were you born, Carl?
August. So my dad couldn't wait till New Year's.
And what month were you born, Lisa?
October, just a little after the rush.
Okay. Taking their time.
Got a late start. Okay. No problem.
All right. Well, we have a full show for you tonight. We'll be here till 2 a.m. We've got Jack Benny coming your way here, the conclusion, then Gunsmoke, and then the Great Gildersleeve. And but before we do that, I want to remind all of our listeners about heat holders, because now's the time, let me tell you, for heat holders. It is cold outside, and if you want to stay warm this winter, we have two words for you, and they are heat holders, because heat holders makes the warmest socks. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it, you might ask? Well, heat holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry, making heat holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. Heat holders will pamper your feet. Heat holders also makes hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love heat holders. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN and save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. Remember to go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com.
You know, when we got all those great heat holders yeah. products, we kept saying it's going to get cold soon.
Yeah.
It wasn't that cold yet, but I gave my Auntie Joyce the blanket.
Yes.
But I still have the socks and I love
them. Well, you know what? Tonight would be the perfect night
to have a blanket
to be wearing the socks and the hats.
Are you
and
wearing
the gloves.
Your socks?
I don't have my heat holders socks, but I did buy heat holders hat and gloves.
Is that right?
And I have them. Look, I'll show them. They're in my coat.
Well, next
I'll show
time
them
you should order them for everybody.
I will.
Everybody at the station.
Everybody
deserves
here
deserves heat holders.
Well, I'd get 15% off plus free shipping, so that's a good deal.
So it's worth it.
Heatholders.com. Folks, it's the best way to stay warm this winter, heatholders.com. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
That was The Stars Will Remember, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, that
okay,
was really...
Okay, Don, okay, I'm here.
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, fellas. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm late, but I rode down here with Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor, and they just wouldn't let me go, you know? Say, Dennis, you sang beautifully.
How do you know?
I heard the program on the way down.
Hey, Jackson, didn't Livy come down with you?
No, Phil. Mary can't be on the show today. She got a cold, but she's getting along all right. Now, kid...
What'd you give her for Christmas, Jack?
Mary? Oh, I gave her a beautiful gift. A pair of alligator shoes.
Alligator shoes? That's awful.
What's awful about it?
Now some poor alligator's running around barefooted.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, kid...
In the winter, too.
Dennis, be quiet. Kid...
Oh, say, Mr. Benny.
What?
See this tie I'm wearing? My girl knitted it for me for Christmas.
Your tie? Well, what are those things hanging on the sides?
Sleeve. She started to make a sweater and changed her mind.
Oh, well, it looks nice, Dennis, and that's a pretty stick pin you have in it.
That's one of the needles. She forgot to take it out.
Well, it's a beautiful gift, though. Now, kids, I'm sorry I was late, but now that I'm here, we better get on with the show because we've got a very important play to do. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction tonight, even though we haven't done it for a couple of years, we're going to present another of our New Year's fantasies called The New Tenant or Goodbye 47, Hello 48. Now, in this fantasy...
Wait a minute, Jack. How are you going to do without Mary? She always plays the part of Columbia.
Oh, my goodness, you're right. And Mary can't be here.
Hey, Jackson, you don't have to throw out our play. I just got an idea.
What is it?
Well, look, I rehearsed my show right across the hall, and Alice will be tickled to death to come in and pinch hit for Mary.
Well, yeah, I don't know, Phil. It's,
She'll do it for nothing.
Oh, well, go get her. You go ahead.
What do you mean, go get her?
What do you want, honey?
Oh, hello, Alice.
Hello, Jack.
See, Alice, I'm so glad you came in. We want you to help us out with our play. You see, Mary can't be here.
Oh, that's too bad. What's wrong with Mary?
She's home in bed with a bad case of alligator shoes.
Dennis, Mary has a cold, Alice. Now, let's get on with the show. Now, in our fantasy, I will play the part of the old year 1947, who is living in a big boarding house run by Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia. Now, Alice, you'll play the part of Columbia.
Columbia?
Yes.
On this network?
Well, NBC has the holiday spirit, you see. But, Alice, I mean that you play Columbia, the mother of America, and you were born in 1776. You know how old that makes you? 38.
Well, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
Oh. Well, there's room there for both of us, you know. Now, Phil, you play the part of Uncle Sam, and you and Alice have 48 children. And you may soon have another child. Hawaii.
Alice, come back. It's only a play.
Yes. Now, Dennis, you will represent the different countries in the world that come in and say goodbye to the old year.
But gee, how can I play all the different countries? I'm so confused.
I couldn't have cast it any better. Now, let's get on with our play. The New Tenant, or Goodbye 47, Hello 48. As the curtain rises, it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon of December 31st. And old man 47 is packing his bags, getting ready to make his exit. Curtain. Music. Oh, Columbia. Columbia. Come here a minute, will you, please?
Well, what do you want, 47?
Give me a hand, will you? I got to get out of here before midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Well, it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What's your hurry?
I got a lot of packing to do. Hand me that, will you?
Oh, why, old-timer. Bubblegum.
Yep. Love the stuff.
But how can you chew it? You ain't got no teeth.
I gum my gum by gum. My pointy nose always breaks him. Say, I wonder if it's still raining out. What a day. Doggone, it's thundering, too. Isn't that awful on my last day here? I'm going to have a talk with Thunder. Oh, Thor! Thor!
Yes!
Are you Thor?
No, just a little angry.
Now, cut that out. Now, don't be funny. This is my last day on Earth.
Good.
What?
You've been a lousy year, and I'm glad to get rid of you.
Lousy year? What are you talking about? I've been as busy as a bee. Tremendous production.
making automobiles, airplanes, refrigerators, television sets, clothes, typewriters, boats, radios, and lots of other things.
I know, but they all went to the woman who guessed who Miss Hush was.
Oh, keep quiet. I said keep quiet. That Thor makes me sick, showing off with his thunder. Just mad because the Chamber of Commerce won't let him in California. Say, Columbia, hand me those songs, will you? I'm going to take them with me.
Here you are.
Let me see. A feudin', a fussin', and a fightin'. Lady from 29 Palms. And oh, here's this one. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, and chalang, la cuca, la gamba. Chibaba, chibaba, chibaba. Never did find out what that meant.
Say, old-timer, take this with you, too. I can't stand it.
What is it?
That's what I like about the South.
Doggone, I never found out what that meant either. Okay, give it to me. Well, howdy, old-timer. Hello, Uncle Sam. Afraid you wouldn't get here in time to see me go.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've been busy.
Well, what you been doing, Sam?
Been over in Arizona trying to help some of her children, them Navajos.
The Navajo Indians?
Yep, the way we treated them, our faces should be red, too.
Yeah. I hope you see everything's all right, though, from now on. Well, I better get on. Come in.
Hey, it's my neighbor, Mexico.
Mexico?
Excuse me for talking in your face, senor, but I came to say goodbye, I think.
Well, thank you.
Say, Mexico, it was awful nice of you to come up and say goodbye to the old-timer.
Oh, it was nothing, senor. I was tired of fiesta, so I came up to your country to siesta.
To sleep?
No, to siesta, Williams.
Williams. You like her, eh?
Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua.
Oh, so that's what it means. Well, thanks for dropping in, Mexico. Good luck.
Adios, senor.
That was darn nice of him. Well, Columbia, I better get down with... Say, isn't it too early for the new year to be getting here?
What do you mean, old-timer?
Look out the window. Here he comes now without any clothes on, just a cloth wrapped around him. Hey, are you the new year?
No, I'm on my way home from Santa Anita.
Doggone, I thought sure.
Now, who can that be?
Come in.
Oh, look, it's England.
Well, hello, England. Come on in.
Just dropped in to say goodbye, old chap.
Thanks. Say, wait a minute, England. Is it snowing outside?
No, that's rice on my shoulders. We had a big wedding a little while ago.
Oh, yes, yes.
And how are you, Uncle Sam?
You'll get it. Take your hands out of my pocket.
Well, don't make him wait too long, Sam. He needs it pretty bad.
Huh? Thanks, old-timer, and cheerio.
So long, England, and good luck. You know, he's quite a guy. Now, let's see, what else can I pack?
Do you want to take these flying saucers with you?
No, I need them like a moose needs a hat rack. I hear that on some radio program. Something about Norman Krasny. I wonder if it's still raining.
No, it's just a little cloudy. But, look! Look, the sun's a-breaking through.
Well, doggone if it ain't. Here comes the sun. Hello, Sol.
Hello, old-timer.
Doggone, look at the way the sun is beaming.
Yep, and get a load of that beam.
Hey, Sol, nice of you to come out on my last day.
Yeah, just warming it up for the Rose Bowl game.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sol, you ought to go to New York, melt some of that snow they got over there.
Well, it was my fault. They kept singing about a white Christmas, and they got it.
I guess you're right. Well, so long, Sol.
So long, old-timer.
Always like to see him. Does my rheumatism good. Well, I better finish packing. Doggone, I'm all alone. It's almost midnight. Gosh, I'm tired. Sure had a tough time. Did the best I could, though, and I hope the new fella will do a lot better. Uh-oh. There's the first stroke of midnight. New tenant ought to be here any second now. Well, I better get my bags and just... Hey, that must be him now. Come in. Well, it's a little New Year, all right. Hello, Sonny.
Hello, old-timer.
Say, you're a cute little rascal.
Thank you.
You even got that new look. Your diaper's 2 inches longer. Come on in, make yourself at home. I'm just about to leave. Oh, by the way, Sonny, before I go, I want to show you my picture album.
Your picture album?
Yep. Here, I'll show you. Now, take a good look at this picture. Here's something I'm mighty proud of.
That looks like a railroad yard with all those trains.
Yep. That long one over there is the Friendship Train. Started out with just a dozen cars. But every place it stopped, people added more and more food for Europe.
What's this other one over here?
Oh, that's called the Freedom Train.
The Freedom Train?
Yep. And I want you to get as many people as possible to see it. Whole life's life is on that train. Bill of Rights, Emancipation Proclamation, Declaration of Independence.
Those are big words. What do they mean?
Well, I'll sum it up for you in the words of a great man, Abraham Lincoln. That government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, Sonny, I gotta be going now, but I want to tell you one thing.
What's that, old-timer?
You're even going to have a tougher job than I had, but you'll have an extra day to do it. You're a leap year.
Leap year?
Yeah, it's a special year they throw in just for the women. You know, so those that ain't been asked can do the asking. Before the poor guy knows it, he's married.
Married? What's that?
Oh, just another version of feuding, a fussing, and a fighting. Well, Sonny, be sure and take care of Columbia and Uncle Sam.
I will.
And the rest of the world ain't in too good shape. A lot of people hungry. But there's a fella here by the name of Marshall who's got a plan to sort of help him out.
Marshall?
Yep, George Marshall. Now, his plan's going to cost a lot of money, but it's worth every cent of it. Always remember, Sonny, isn't money that counts. It's people. And it's up to those who have to help those who haven't. Well, I'm just about ready. Oh, yes. One more thing, Sonny.
Yes, sir?
A lot, awful lot of things in the world that ain't good, you know. There's distrust, greed, racial prejudice, and hatred. See if you can do something about it.
I sure will.
Well, gotta be going. Good luck, 48.
Thanks, old-timer.
Now be sure and take care of everybody.
I will. Goodbye, 47.
So long, Sonny. Happy New Year, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil and Alice can also be heard on their own show every Sunday, and don't forget to listen to A Day in the Life of Dennis Day on Wednesday. On our show tonight, we had with us Mel Blanc, B. Benaderet, Frank Nelson, and little Johnny McGovern. And I hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. And on behalf of my cast and my sponsors, I want to wish each and every one of you a very
happy
New Year.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Jack was running late there. They cut him right off. They'll do that to you,
you
know.
I'm going to do that to you if I could.
Cut you right off there. That's Jack Benny with all the gang. And it's funny because when they picked up Jack Benny, remember earlier when he was hitchhiking and Mel Blanc picked him up? And there was a guy and a girl in the car. Well, that was Jack. That was Mel Blanc and B. Benaderet. And later, those two actors played Barney Rubble and Betty Rubble on the Flintstones. Those were the two actors. There they were together. And then later, they worked together on the Flintstones.
They had a good bond.
They did. That's from December 28, 1947, the Jack Benny Program special guest, Alice Faye. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. We are, we're almost at New Year's Eve, Lisa, just a few seconds away.
New Year's Eve, yeah. So do you have a resolution for the year?
New Year's Eve resolution, let me think. Yes, I do. I'm going to help all my friends gain 10 pounds so I can look thinner.
That would work.
Yeah.
Well, don't help me with that. I don't need that kind of help.
Do you have any kind of a New Year's resolution?
Well, I don't exactly call them resolutions.
Uh-huh.
I'm more like...
Mine are 1080 DPI.
Yeah, no, mine's more like a casual promise that I am under no obligation to fulfill.
Right.
Right.
You know, when I was married, if someone were to ask me what my resolutions were, I'd say my wife hasn't told me what my New Year's resolutions are yet. But since I'm not married, I get to make my own resolutions up.
Well, you know, even when you're married, you're allowed to do that, just so we're clear about that.
That's true.
That would be your lack of poor
choices. This is true.
This
is true. This is true. All right, in the next hour, it's Gunsmoke, then The Great Gildersleeve. That's coming your way. It is time for the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So what did Dan get you for Christmas, Lisa?
We don't really celebrate Christmas.
Well, that's right. Hanukkah.
We went to Florida.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. We had a vacation.
We don't celebrate Christmas. I keep forgetting. Sorry.
I know. We went to Florida and spent a ton of money and took everybody on vacation, and that's what we do.
So the whole family went, huh?
Yeah, there's six of us.
Do they make airplanes that big?
Yeah.
For your whole family?
And it held my doggy, too, so there were six of us and my puppy.
I'm sure you flew private. Right,
because we have our own jet,
so we hire the pilots
and all.
You have several jets, don't you?
No, just one.
Just one. Okay,
yeah. It's nice though.
And so, what part of Florida? Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And your mom and dad were there,
yeah.
And you brought.
And
did you bring Simba
there? And Simba was
flew.
There. Of course.
Is he a good flyer?
He is a good flyer. He's
tell
very
you,
good at it.
I'd say whenever I fly to Florida.
Your
my
arms get
are
tired.
Really tired.
I know that was coming.
Because I can't afford to take a plane. I have to literally flap my arms to get there.
Yeah, well, it's a long flight.
How was the weather?
It was perfect.
Gosh.
It was 80 and sunny.
Man.
I wore shorts and tank tops.
Curtis and I
so
were
happy.
Here freezing.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. I was going to ask you, Carl, how much altitude do you get when you fly?
I get, how much altitude? I can make it about 20 feet in the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah. Any more than that.
Not enough to get over the Appalachians.
No,
but.
No. I crash right into that.
Well, maybe sometime I'll take you in the jets.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
As long as you're not piloting.
No, no. I have a pilot,
because
a co-pilot.
She drinks Roma wine a lot.
Right.
I don't want her flying any
that
plane.
That spells disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's like, she has
sure.
Too many martinis.
Yes. That's,
tea too many
that's,
martinis.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
Big drinker. So we all have our, we all have our problems.
Well,
that
it's
one's
New
fine.
Year's Eve. Happy New Year's. You can drink all you want now tonight.
Yeah. I got a great water bottle here that's going down nice and easy.
So you're just
going
to stay low key tonight, Lisa? Stay
tonight,
home?
Tonight? Yes, I am.
Just going to watch a little
TV. I'm looking forward to doing a lot of nothing.
Yeah. You'll have Simba and Dan. Oh, Simba on one side.
I'll put my pajamas.
Amazon,
and it just
have your little
out.
Pajamas with little feeties in them.
I know,
right?
I'm wild and crazy.
Wow. This hour we have Gunsmoke, a good episode from 1956, a New Year's show called Puckett's New Year, starring William Conrad, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, about a man who became paralyzed after a car accident and turned to drawing as a form of therapy.
Is that because he had pajamas with feeties on it? He couldn't get far on foot either?
Yeah, no.
No?
A little bit different. Close, though. So
right,
close.
What do they win?
They're going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Wow. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of Shallow Hal.
Oh.
With a mug like that, he must be fighting him off daily.
I love this. I love this movie.
I love
one
this
of the
guy.
Funniest movies ever.
And I absolutely agree with you.
981-7200. Who is that actor? Give us a call. Win some Twilight Zone CDs. We'll be right back.
And we are back with our New Year's Eve show. This is Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play it one more time.
With a mug like that, he must be fighting him off daily.
And we have Val on the phone. We have her?
Yeah.
There we go. Hey, Val.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. Thanks for calling in. Who is that fine actor?
That would be Jack Black.
Jack Black is right. And we are so happy to give you a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set hosted by Stacy Keach. And you are going to love it. They are really great. Great actors. Great stories. It's the best of the best.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Val. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as
Thanks,
well.
Buddy. All right. Val's a big winner. He knew that...
Jack Black.
So, this is a new thing. It's a different button I have to hit Lisa.
Yeah.
So
it gets confusing.
Gave me an extra button. Curtis has me doing an extra button.
You're
tonight.
Putting him to work.
Man, messing me all up.
Yeah,
buddy.
It's your fault.
One extra button of work won't make or break your
night.
Know Curtis,
me.
You don't know him,
do
and you're messing
me.
Him all up for the whole night.
You
He's going to be cursing you all the way home.
Curtis.
Well, you know what? I've got this shift again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
I'm with Stephen Johnny tomorrow.
Stephen Johnny tomorrow.
And I'm with Jim Toronto also.
Wow. Oh, right, because he's coming at 3 o'clock in
yes,
the morning.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Very cool.
We can send them all our best. So you better get
Lumel
a good
Nadi's.
Night's.
We'll have Lumel Nadi, so if
there
you,
you
want some pizza.
Oh, I'm driving out here
well,
for
Well, nobody
that.
Invited us, so yeah.
So, Carl,
stay home.
I know you said you had no New Year's Eve plans, but
I don't
if you,
have any.
Want some
we
pizza.
Don't either.
Nobody has invited me for New Year's.
Well,
so I
there's
guess,
still
I guess
time.
I'll be home. I, you know what I love the most, Curtis, about New Year's? I just love when they drop that ball in Times Square, you know? It's a nice reminder of what I did all year, you know?
You just drop the ball all year?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. David?
Oh, Roger.
Oh,
Roger's
shaking
here.
His finger.
Roger, thank you.
Shaking his finger.
Thank you, Roger.
Roger's doing
you.
Shame on you.
Oh, boy.
I need right. you, Roger.
You know, Roger loves Gunsmoke, and I have a Gunsmoke episode for you right now, Roger. What do you think of that? Gunsmoke, it's a New Year's show, Lisa. It's called Puckett's New Year from January 1st, 1956. William Conrad stars. And
I was 4 years old.
4 years of age. Wow. Yeah. You look a lot younger than that, Roger.
Than four.
I get better with age.
You do. You're like a fine wine.
Right?
You really are. Yeah.
With the cop.
Roma
the,
wines, which is what Lisa likes.
They don't make those anymore, do they?
Oh, sure. I bought them all out.
You did?
I stocked up on Roma wines. There's nothing left. I just have it all.
All. They're Lisa wines now.
It was a deal.
Such a deal.
All right, you ready for Gunsmoke?
I am.
All right, here's part one now of a New Year's Eve program on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Chester and I were about 30 miles from Dodge when we ran into the buffalo hunters' camp. We'd been holed up for 2 days in a deserted sod hut, taking cover from one of the worst blizzards in years. But it was over now, and a warm, dry Chinook blew out of the west, down off the Rockies and across the prairie into Kansas. It was Chester who saw the camp first, a pile of buffalo hides half covered by snow, and the skeleton of a wagon, its canvas torn and shredded by the blizzard. The camp was silent as we rode up. We got on.
There ain't nary a soul here, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe the men got caught out on the prairie when the blizzard hit and couldn't get back.
It sure does look that way.
I don't know how that team is still alive with nothing but that wagon for protection.
They don't look none too lively.
You sure can't blame them.
Get your hands up, what? Both of you.
What? You better do what the old man says, Chester.
He was hiding in the wagon.
Come over here, closer.
This your camp, mister?
Of course it's my camp. Now you two drop them guns.
Now we got our hands up. Isn't that enough?
You do what I say. I ain't taking no chances. I ain't going to get left here again.
Left?
You're going to hitch up that team and you're going to take me into Dodge. You ain't running off like Jed Lerner.
Who's Jed Lerner?
He's my skinner.
Oh, why did he leave you?
Well, he seen that blizzard coming and he didn't want to take any chances, so he rode off. He's probably been in Dodge all the time, warm and cozy.
Oh, why didn't you go with him?
I twisted my leg and my foot so I can't ride a horse, that's why. Lerner figured driving the wagon would be too slow.
You mean he left you here to freeze?
And I'll kill him when I find him. And I'll kill you if you don't drive me to Dodge.
Now, here, he's a U.S. Marshal, mister. He ain't gonna leave you out here.
Marshal?
Yeah, that's right. Now, why don't you put down that rifle and tell us who you are?
Well, all right. My name's Ira Puckett, Marshal. I'm usually up north following the Republican herd, but I come south this year. I'm getting old, and I thought it'd be warmer down here.
You sure made a mistake about that, didn't you?
You'll get me into Dodge, won't you?
Sure, of course we will.
Foot I twisted. I don't feel nothing in it. Must be froze.
Huh? Well, it could be.
I'll kill Jed Lerner for this.
You forget about that, Puckett. I'm not taking you back to Dodge just so you can hang.
I'll forget it. Till I find him.
Well, how is he, Doc?
Oh, he'll be all right, Matt. In time.
Well, then his foot wasn't so bad after all, huh?
He didn't have much foot left when I got through with him.
Oh.
But he'll be able to walk with a cane. But his buffalo hunting days are over.
Now, does he know that?
Mm-hmm. I told him. Ira Puckett's a proud man, Matt. A little too proud.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, what he hated most about this Jed Lerner leaving him on the prairie wasn't the fact that he might have died, but that he was helpless. A man like Puckett can't stand being helpless.
Yeah, I see.
So now, all crippled up, he's a better man, Matt.
Well, he'll get over it, Doc. A man can get used to most anything in time.
I've got my doubts about Puckett, though. Well, you know that ornery old goat? He won't even admit how old he is.
Oh, how old would you guess, Doc?
Oh, he's past 70 anyway. He's in the back there if you want to see him.
All right.
I'll come with you.
Well, hello, Puckett.
Marshal.
How you feeling?
Doc tell you what he done to me?
Yeah.
You ruined my foot.
I saved your life, Puckett.
I ain't sure I'm grateful, Doc.
You're going to be all right, Puckett. You're going to be able to get around.
Yeah, like old woman. What am I going to do for a living? I ain't one of you city people. I live off the country. I always have. I'm a man, not a dude.
You'll get used to town life. And you'll find men here, too.
What kind of men? Walking around all slickered up, parting the hair in the middle, bowing to the ladies. Ain't one of them could do half the things I've done. Well, I was living with Comanches when most of them was sniveling in their mother's aprons.
Yeah, I know. But you'll find something to do. I'll help you.
You will, eh?
Well, sure.
Then help me find Jed Lerner. Bring him in here so that I can kill him with my bare hands.
What does Lerner look like, Bucket?
He's tall, black hair, got a big scar running across one eye and halfway down his right cheek.
All right, I'll try to find him. And if I do, I'll run him out of town before you get to him.
So, can't even trust you, can I?
Not when you want to murder a man. I told you I didn't bring you in so you could hang.
All right, let's take a break here on Gunsmoke from January 1st, 1956, Puckett's New Year with William Conrad. Good show. Roger, do you have any New Year's resolutions? Happy New Year, by the way, sir.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Yeah, we won't see you later tonight.
No.
The Hawks and then Steve and Johnny.
Right.
Yes. Oh, okay.
They gave us off.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to pay us double just because we offered to be here.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I wonder if I could offer to be here. Oh, that's okay. I'm working anyway.
Yeah. I have something for you, Roger.
Oh, isn't that nice?
I texted him from Kilwin.
Oh, that's right.
And he never texted me back.
I did, but I was really late on both responses
Yeah, you were.
And when I saw the second one, I looked at the time and I go, she's long
she's
gone.
She's long gone. Like 3 hours later, he answers the question of what he wants. So I chose for you.
Thank you so much. I'll be down after the news.
Okay.
New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Actually, I talked about this yesterday evening with
someone else.
With somebody else. Yes, thank you very much. Matt Bubala.
Okay.
And I told there's three things. One is to get through another year.
Yeah.
Which I started like 3 years ago.
Started
I got sick. Well, no,
after
I got sick. Write my book.
Okay.
Which is
Top 100 Classic Radio Shows for chance.
That sounds like a great idea. No, it's been done already.
Yeah.
No, actually about 70% of it's already written.
Oh, great.
And I didn't know it was already written.
Need a proofwriter?
Huh?
Need a proofwriter?
Don't ask Carl.
Proofwriter or proofreader?
Editor,
reader.
He means.
Yeah.
He means editor. Reader.
Proofreader, that's what I meant. Yeah,
writer, sure. Reader, it's almost the same
thing. Speaking
of easy
writing. Wow.
One letter off, Roger.
Well, those are good resolutions.
By that much.
Very good resolutions. You know?
And spend more, because he asked for three.
Yeah.
So,
and spend more time with Bridget. Doing stuff together. We're always
Don't
together.
You have to ask her if that's desirable?
Well, she's already made it plainly clear that that would be a really good resolution.
She wants to spend more
year.
Time with you.
Well, we're always together in our place, but she's over in the front room reading her book, and I'm over in the TV room watching TV.
Yeah, my resolution is to read more, so I turned the subtitles on my TV set.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I also have another. I have two, actually. That's one.
Okay.
You know my other one is?
I'm afraid to ask.
To get married again?
No. No. My New Year's resolution is to take all the Christmas lights down by Easter.
Why not just leave them up and say that they're Easter egg lights?
I could do that.
You could.
That might be good.
Easter egg lights.
All right.
He wouldn't be the first one.
Kids, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf is here. She's back from Florida.
I'm so happy to be here.
She's a little sick. She's got a little bit of a cold.
A little stuffy, but I'm okay.
Keep at least 5 feet from me, Lisa, please.
You won't even
no
look
offense,
my direction.
But she keeps talking and like leaning over, and she's like trying to talk to me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, back off a little bit.
I am like
don't
6 feet
get
or
sick.
More from you. You're being a little...
Curtis
crazy.
Is okay. He's in the
my
behind
nose
the glass.
Is
my own
stuffy
little germ
and
box.
He's crazy.
I'm going to bring the disinfecting wipes.
Yeah.
Okay, you
down.
Do that.
I'm going to swab you down before we do anything.
Oh, that sounds fun.
aye, matey, swab the decks.
I like it nice and slow, Roger.
Well, it is a fresh scent.
Hey, you know what, Roger? When you come down here, Lisa has some chocolate for you.
And before
you leave, I'm snagging one.
Okay.
But I wanted to give it to
Roger,
you
Roger, tell him no. I got him something else. Tell him he'll share
with
you.
You got him something else?
Licorice.
Yeah.
You can have a piece of licorice.
And he asked for licorice, and you asked for turtles.
Yeah.
So your wish is mine.
Is
that what you got?
Yes.
Turtles?
Yes.
That's my favorite.
Why didn't you ask for it? But I
didn't realize they had turtles.
It's
there.
A fancy chocolate
shop. It's a candy shop. They can make anything.
I have to tell
you know
you
what
something.
I had when I was there?
Yeah. What?
I had a chocolate caramel apple.
Oh,
that was the best thing.
Yummy.
You know I love those. What did you get me for my birthday?
An apple.
A chocolate caramel apple.
Well, I got you some other stuff, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want people to think, oh, whoa.
He
Mr.
got me an apple for
what
my
a
birthday.
Cheapskate.
She chucked all the other stuff and kept the apple.
So true.
what a tightwad. He bought her an apple taffy.
He's very generous.
Gosh. She just throws me under the bus. What's the weather like down there?
I wouldn't know.
Real cold right now.
All right, we're listening to Gunsmoke. It's a good New Year's Eve show. Let's go back to January 1st, 1956. Puckett's New Year, starring William Conrad.
The next few weeks, I kept a sharp eye out for Jed Lerner, but he must have headed for some other part of the country. Anyway, he never showed up in Dodge. Well, time passed, and Ira Puckett was able to get around a little. First with the help of crutches, and then finally with a cane. But it was obvious his hunting days were over, and that alone seemed to shame him. Then one night his pride really got a blow. I was at the Long Branch having a beer with Kitty when it happened.
Oh, this is a great way to start the new year, Matt.
What do you mean, Kitty?
Well, last year I was hoping maybe I'd be in San Francisco by now.
Oh? You never told me.
What would you have done about it?
Oh, nothing, I guess. Why San Francisco?
No blizzards, no dust, no cowboys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but they got fog.
Yeah.
And all those sailors and miners aren't any gentler than these cowboys, you know?
Well, I know. But imagine going to dinner in a carriage, eating off a tablecloth, dancing on a hardwood floor.
You're spoiled, Kitty.
Well, now, how could I got spoiled? Here? Dodge City?
Save your money. You'll get to California someday.
Yeah, sure. If I walk.
Hell, a lot of people are gone that way.
Who do you think I am, Sacagawea?
Ah, there was a woman.
Yeah.
You know, I always...
What's the matter, Matt?
That man at the bar, he just turned around.
Which man?
The one with the scar down his cheek. I'll be back, Kitty.
Good evening, Marshal.
Evening.
What are you staring at me for?
Your name Jed Lerner?
And if it is?
How long you been in town, Lerner?
About an hour. Something wrong, Marshal?
You remember the big blizzard we had?
Who don't?
We all do, I guess. Especially Ira Puckett.
What?
He didn't die, Lerner.
Well, that's fine. I went back looking for him. I wondered where he'd got to.
Yeah, sure you did.
Well, it's true.
Puckett's here in Dodge, Lerner.
He is?
And if he finds you, he'll kill you. But he isn't gonna find you because you're leaving right now. And don't show up around here again.
Now, wait, Marshal.
I can't arrest you. I can't put you in jail. But I tell you what I can do.
What?
Suppose I just let everybody here know that you're the man who ran off and left Ira Puckett to die.
No.
You know something? They'd tear you apart, Lerner. They'd set you on fire.
Don't say nothing, Marshal. Don't tell him. I'll leave. I'll leave right now.
Well, you got rid of him in a hurry.
I saved him from being shot and Ira Puckett from hanging for it, Kitty.
Oh, that was Jed Lerner. He's the one that ought to hang.
Yeah, he didn't mean to kill the old man, Kitty.
What's the difference?
Well, legally there's some.
Enough to give Ira his foot back?
You're sure hard to argue with, Kitty.
Why? Because I think straight?
Let's talk about San Francisco, huh?
I've changed my mind. I think I'll go to New York.
Oh?
Marshal Dillon.
It's Ira Puckett, man.
Yeah.
He looks awful mad. Good thing he isn't armed.
Well, he can always find a gun, Kitty.
You done it, Marshal. It was you, wasn't it?
You saw Jed Lerner, huh?
Jumped on his horse and rode out of town before I could stop him. And I had to stand there and watch. I didn't even have a rock to throw at him. Why'd you do it, Marshal?
To save you from hanging,
huh? Well, I'd rather hang and live this way. I wasn't born to become a helpless old man. The least you could have done was let me fight my own battle like I always did out on the plain. You took my manhood away from me, Marshal.
You're living in town now, Ira, among people. Why don't you get used to it?
All right. All right. All right, I will. I'll live like you town people.
Fine. Then why don't you start by getting yourself a job?
I'm going to. I sure am. And it's going to pay me a lot of money, too.
What do you mean by that?
You'll find out, Marshal. When it's too late.
It's a nice morning, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, thanks to that wind we had last night.
Well, it kept me awake.
All night, Chester?
Well, no, sir, I wouldn't say that. About 15 minutes. Hey, look over there by the bank, Mr. Dillon. Ain't that Ira Puckett?
Yeah. That's the first time he's had his team and wagon out.
Where you reckon he's going?
Right now, he's gone into the bank.
Well, what's he carrying that shotgun for? He can't do no hunting in the bank.
Yes, he can, Chester. Come on.
Mr. Dillon, you don't mean to say old Puckett's going to hold that bank up?
He said last night he's going to start living like town people and get a job and make a lot of money. This could be his idea of how to do it.
You sure couldn't have no other reason to carry that shotgun in there. You going in after Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's got a shotgun.
I know. Look, Chester, take his team and wagon off somewhere. Lead him around back of the bank, huh? Out of sight. Maybe we can handle this without a shooter.
All right, sir.
Hurry it up, Chester. He's coming out.
I'm long gone, Mr. Dillon. Marshal.
Come on out, Puckett. I'm not stopping you.
You better not try it. I can shoot with one hand, Marshal.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you try to follow me. Hey, wait a minute. Wait. Where's my wagon? Where's my team?
You're in a bad fix, Puckett.
Somebody stole them. I can't get away without my team.
No, you can't, Puckett. So you might as well give up.
You've done it. You're behind this, Marshal.
You gonna shoot me?
Well, why shouldn't I?
Because you're in enough trouble already. And shooting me won't help a bit. You're trapped, Puckett, and there isn't a thing you can do about it. Now, you use your head.
All right. Here. Here's the money. Now, you bring my outfit back. I ain't going to jail, Marshal.
It's like I said, Puckett. Shooting me isn't going to help you. And I'm not going to do a thing about your outfit.
You think you outsmarted me, don't you?
Give it up, Puckett. You're licked.
Yeah, well, I... No. Oh, I can't shoot you, Marshal. Here. Here, take the gun.
Good.
I'm nothing but a helpless old fool. Can't even rob a bank proper.
I'm not sure you really wanted to, Puckett.
What?
All you wanted was to prove something about that manhood you think has been taken away from you. But you sure picked a foolish way to do it.
Yeah, I guess it did.
My goodness, I thought he wouldn't never give up, Mr. Dillon.
He didn't have much choice, Chester.
I went in the back way and told the people in the bank to keep out of the way. Want me to take him to jail?
Oh, no. I can't stand jail. Please, Marshal.
Lock him up, Chester. I'll return this money and have a talk with Mr. Botkin. I'll be over later. I thought I told you to lock him up, Chester.
Well, I started to, Mr. Dillon, but I just couldn't stand the look on him when I got him in the cell.
Ira, you know, it seems to me everybody treats you pretty well.
Yeah, everybody but Jed Larner.
That's true. But Chester and I brought you in. Doc saved your life. I kept you from hanging, and if I hadn't outsmarted you at the bank, you'd probably be lying dead somewhere now. You know, it seems to me everybody's gone to a lot of trouble for an old man full of a lot of foolish pride. What do you think?
I've been thinking, Marshal. Sitting here thinking. You know what? You're right. But it's too late now.
No, it isn't, Arnold.
What?
I explained everything to Mr. Bodkin at the bank, and he's willing to drop any charges against you. But on one condition.
What's that?
Well, to be honest with you, it was my idea, but Mr. Bodkin agreed. You get a job here and quit being so doggone ornery. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail.
Oh, what could I do with this crippled foot?
Well, seeing you're so handy with a shotgun, I think Jim Buck might hire you to ride messenger on the stage.
You think so?
Well, he told me he would.
You went and saw him?
And it doesn't take any walking, Ira. So, how about it, huh?
Well, I never had a job like that. But a man's got to make a change once in a while, lady. And it'll sure be a good way to start the new year.
And now our star, William Conrad.
You know, out on the high plains, they used to have a saying, never argue with a mule, a cook, or a horse and buggy doctor. Well, next week, an Easterner who never heard that saying comes to Dodge. And he makes the mistake of fighting with the wrong people. He nearly dies as a result of it. But that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody and James Nusser. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. The war against death and disease is never over. You can help fight these menaces by rolling up your sleeve and giving a pint of blood to help the sick and injured. Your blood is needed to give strength to those who are weak from sickness. Blood does save lives. Unfortunately, it cannot be mined or manufactured. It can only come from the veins of healthy men and women. If you have given before, why not give again? If you haven't given, you can join the thousands who donate regularly. For complete information, call your nearest Red Cross chapter. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
There you have it. Gunsmoke, January 1st, 1956, Puckett's New Year, starring William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. And, you know, there were two actors, Lisa, in the regular cast of the Gunsmoke radio show that were regulars on the Andy Griffith Show. You know who they were? If you don't know, I'll tell you. Parley Bear, who played Chester on these shows, was the mayor. He was the mayor on the Andy Griffith Show. And then Howard McNear, who was Doc on these shows, was Floyd the Barber. Yes, Andy. Oh, yeah. Yes, he was Floyd the Barber.
I remember the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah, Andy.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a lot of these early television stars, and you watch the Mary Tyler, you know, Mary Tyler Moore, or Jack, you know, the Jack Benny program, or any of these early television shows, most of those actors had a long career in radio. Yeah. A lot of these actors moved over to television when that newfangled invention came into the living rooms of Americans.
You know what? Otherwise, their career was going to be significantly decreased.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more right here on the WGN Radio Theater. I will say this. The MyPillows, they really are good.
They're great.
They really, really are good.
You know, I bought a MyPillow for Carl last year. I think it was, I don't know.
You bought me two. Well, Mike got me one and you bought me one.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't go to his house, so I don't know if he actually used it, but I'm going to
assume. You've been there once.
I didn't check your pillow.
No, but you
saying I stayed out of the bedroom.
Don't make people think that I don't invite you over. I mean,
you don't.
You came over one time.
Well, you invite her over a lot, but you keep giving her the wrong address.
Since 2008, right. And I've been over once, so you add it up.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the matter, Carl?
2008.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's
what's the matter? Huh?
I was at your house once.
One time?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at your house, what, three times?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's you're three times as nice as I am.
That's for sure.
I just did the math. And,
yeah, it's pretty quick.
That's the, that is the determination.
He's okay as long as it's a single digit.
Is this right?
but I get into those fractions, man. I'm all messed up. Forget about it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Well,
Pythagorean
one day,
theorems
come,
and all that kind of stuff.
When I come to your house, I'll make sure to bring something, though.
Yeah. Curtis just got out of college. He's probably great. At math.
No, I went to an art school. I went to Columbia, so math is not my forte at all.
All right, well, when
Good
we
try.
Come back from the news, we will have hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. We're going to play The Great Gildersleeve, a terrific New Year's show from 1950 with Willard Waterman. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
107, and this is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa and I and Roger and everybody is here every Saturday. Well, Curtis isn't here every Saturday
and
Sunday.
But he is tonight.
But he is tonight.
Actually, I'm here. I do Dave Plyer.
Oh, that's...
So I'm actually in
Are
here.
You going to be his new producer?
I am his new producer.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you've been away in Florida.
I was gone, but now I know.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right,
I did not
so
know that.
We're all here every Saturday and Sunday night. You know, a lot of our listeners think that we're either on just Saturday or just Sunday. We're on both nights.
And, of course, we play
different
radio shows and we have a different show because Carl is never the same guy twice.
That's right. Could never do that.
Has he ever repeated the same joke twice?
Oh, my gosh.
Never.
Let's not go there.
Never, never,
all
never.
Of the time. Yeah, I can give you the punchlines by now.
Really? No, but yeah. So when you were in art school, you what were you studying there?
Radio broadcasting.
Boy. Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
You know when I was in college, I studied to be an astronaut.
Roger, help me.
Did you know that?
Speaking of punchlines,
I studied to be an astronaut. I took up space.
I'd believe that.
Okay. Just don't encourage him, please. Don't encourage him. Please.
You're
Sorry,
new,
Roger.
And he's got to get them like out of his system.
I know, but why every weekend? It's in his system.
And I graduated with the highest temperature in my class.
No.
Does that mean you were sick all the time?
Yes.
I think you were looking for the highest GPA.
I'm sick.
Oh, he's
oh, yeah.
sick, all right.
I'm sick. Just, I don't need medicine
but
for it.
But he didn't get it from me.
All right, this hour, it's the Great Gildersleeve, a good New Year's Eve show from 1950, and it's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film The Favorite, a tale of envy and betrayal in the court of Queen Anne in the early 18th century England.
Oh, this
England.
Is one of those English, like,
but
oh.
But you like this actress. You would
I
date
do
her.
Like this
You would date her.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. She keeps calling me all
I know,
the time.
And you just have to keep turning
I just,
her down.
You know what I do is I just, I what do you know, when you block the number?
Yeah.
I blocked
you,
it.
Do
she
you know how to do that?
Yeah. She calls me all the time.
And then he woke up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like those romantic 18th century, 17th century.
But you like this actress.
Love this actress.
So, you know, it's got the pros and the cons there.
All right. So what do they win?
A Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set.
The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the female lead in La La Land.
I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
All right. Who is that very lovely actress? 312-981-7200. I blocked her number.
Yeah, I don't blame
totally
you.
Totally blocked her.
Not your type.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our very special New Year's Eve show of WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel
She's
Without a
calling
Cause.
Calling me right now again. She's calling me right now.
Would you tell her to stop calling you?
Gosh, she doesn't get a hint.
Donald.
You should hear what she's calling him.
We've got Donald on the phone, Carl.
Yes, we do. Hi,
Donald.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
He was talking to me.
You know, the funny thing is, you said I win the Twilight Zone, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually met Lynn Stallmaster, who is one of the casters of that, and I was a casting agent.
Casters of?
For the movie?
For La La Land?
For, the Twilight Zone series and several other the original Untouchables.
Oh, you're talking about the original television series.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
The TV series.
Yeah, very cool.
So tell us who this actress is so everybody knows who we're talking about.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone is the one. Does she call you a lot, too? Because it is a problem.
No, I just saw her in the Millennium Park on the big screen, you know, and I saw La La Land when they screened it. So.
Oh, nice. Well, you are a winner, and you have won the Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set, and it is hosted by Stacy Keach and produced by Carl Amari. Don't know who that is, but I've heard he's okay. So congratulations, and thank you again for listening tonight to our New Year's Eve show.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, why not?
You know, right.
Nothing better to do at 2 in the morning.
You know what? I feel the same way.
We agree, Donald.
Thank you.
Happy New
Take
Year.
Take care.
Take care. Donald's a big winner. He knew that it was Emma Stone from La La Land. Yeah, she is just a cutie patootie.
I kind of figured
Lisa?
You'd think that.
Yeah, she's
she on
is.
Your list?
Definitely on the list. Way, way up there.
Great.
And you know what else is on my list?
Yes, I do.
Gildersleeve.
Yes.
Love the great Gildersleeve, even though my crabby brother Vince doesn't like this show.
Well, you know, I was texting. Most of the people like it. Every now and then we get somebody who also does not like it, and that's okay. We can't please everyone.
Right.
We do our very best.
This is a good show, though. This is going to be a good one.
So give it a try, guys.
All right, let's go back to December 27th, 1950. This is a New Year's double date show. Willard Waterman stars as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as The Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you each week by the Kraft Foods Company. And Kraft, you know, brings you the famous cheese food Velveeta, the delicious pasteurized processed cheese food with a fine cheddar flavor that's wonderfully rich, yet delightfully mild. You can be sure it tastes wonderful because Velveeta is made by Kraft. And for years, the name Kraft has meant the very finest in cheese and cheese foods. So next time you're shopping, be sure to get Velveeta. See for yourself how unusually delicious it is. And remember, only Kraft makes Velveeta. Well, the Great Gildersleeve, his family and friends hope all of you had a Merry Christmas. Everybody at his house did. The tree was never so gaily decorated, and St. Nicholas never more generous.
Oh, boy, a hockey stick and shoe skates. Thanks, Unc.
You don't thank me, Leroy. Thanks, Santa Claus.
I sure thank you for all my loot.
Well, you deserve it, Bertie. You've been a good little girl all year.
Yeah.
Unky, look what Bronco gave me.
Yeah, look, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, a quilted robe. His thoughtful husband.
And slippers to match.
Blue satin. Ain't that pretty?
Well, the baby's coming soon, and we want the little fellow to be proud of his mother.
That's right, my boy.
Oh, Bronco, you're the sweetest husband in the world.
Oh, Marge.
Yes, you are sweet.
Hey, sweetie, what did you give me?
No, Leroy.
It's in that long package, Leroy.
Oh, yeah, the archery set.
How'd you know? You haven't opened it.
I opened it last week.
You what a boy.
Mr. Gill, please.
Yes, Bertie?
Here's another big package for you that came yesterday.
You? Who brought it?
Santa Claus.
You mean Santa Claus came twice?
Yes, sir. This time in high heels.
Oh, my goodness.
We were told to hide it from you, Unky.
I got my gift from Catherine. Who sent it?
One of your secret admirers, huh?
Yover. Yeah, I don't have any secret admirers.
Oh, yes, you have.
Open it, Unky.
Well, I guess I'd better.
It sure is not a fancy.
Hey, it's an alligator.
It is not, Leroy. It's an alligator suitcase. Say, this is a pretty expensive present. Silver fittings inside.
Oh, it's lovely, Unky.
Here's the card. To Throckmorton with love, Vicky. Vicky!
That's love, all right. Alligators don't come cheap.
You're all right, Bertie. Bronco, your Aunt Victoria shouldn't have done this. It's very embarrassing.
Well, didn't you send her something, Unky?
Well, yes. A Christmas card.
And she sent you love in an alligator bag.
Bertie, this isn't funny. In fact, it's getting serious.
Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bronco?
Marge and I are driving over to my folks' house to see their...
I'm not too anxious to bump into your Aunt Vicky until I figure out what to do about that gift.
Oh, forget it, Mr. Gildersleeve. Aunt Vicky just likes to be nice to her boyfriends.
Well, I've only been out with her a few times. I'm not her boyfriend.
Mr. Gildersleeve, when Aunt Vicky decides you're her boyfriend, there isn't much you can do about it.
But...
She likes you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, I like her, too. But I've been going with Catherine for quite a while, and I won't let anything come between us. Well, I mean it.
Andy! I'll get it! I'm right here!
What a noisy family.
Hello? Yeah. Unc, it's for you.
Thank you, my boy.
It's Bronco's Aunt Vicky.
It is?
How are you going to handle it, Unc? Tell her you're going steady?
Quiet, Leroy. The receiver's off the hook.
I know. I want to see how you get off the hook.
Leroy, if it wasn't Christmas, I... Hello, Vicky.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Merry Christmas. And I want to thank you for the alligator suitcase.
And I want to thank you for the Christmas card.
Yeah. Well, I haven't sent out all my presents this year. Yeah, I often do it that way. Send out a card, then surprise them later with a present. Leroy, why don't you go skating?
Okay. What an operator.
Now then, Vicky, as I was saying about sending you a present.
Why, Throckmorton, you don't have to send me anything. When I like somebody and give them something, I don't expect anything in return.
No, Vicky. You'll have a New Year's surprise.
I will? What's it going to be? Oh, tell little Vicky.
Well, I can't tell you. I don't know myself. What am I going to do about Vicky? One thing I've got to do, that's get her a New Year's present. Well, good old Peavy will help me out. Hello, Peavy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you today?
Well, I have a gift to buy, Peavy.
A gift, you say? Mr. Gildersleeve, Christmas was last Monday.
Yeah, I know, Peavy. I still have to buy a gift.
Forget somebody?
Well, it isn't the case of my forgetting. It's the case of somebody else remembering.
How's that?
Yeah, I got an alligator suitcase from a secret admirer.
My, my.
It is very embarrassing, Peavy. Now I have to buy her something.
Okay, well.
She's Miss Vicky Chase, Bronco's aunt.
Oh, yes. An attractive woman.
Well, yes. But she doesn't understand that I'm interested in Catherine Milford.
If she gave you an alligator bag, I'd say she understands pretty well.
Well, she's getting to be quite a problem, Peavy. She calls me at home. She calls me at the water department. She calls me at...
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, the telephone.
You can go right ahead, Peavy.
Peavy's pharmacy. Yes? Yes, he's here. It's for you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you, Vicky. Hello.
Throckmorton, this is Vicky.
Oop. Peavy, why didn't you tell me who it was?
You didn't ask me.
Yeah, I didn't ask you. Hello, Vicky.
I thought I'd find you if I kept calling around town.
Well, you found me.
I'll bet you're still looking for a gift for little Vicky, you naughty boy, you.
Well.
Really, Throckmorton, I don't want you to buy me a thing. But if you insist on spending money on me, why don't you spend it on both of us?
Who's that?
Well, I see there's a big New Year's Eve dance at the Palm Room.
Well.
If my little gift of a genuine alligator bag with sterling silver fittings makes you feel obligated, why don't you just take me to the dance?
But...
I wouldn't dream of suggesting it, but I'm only trying to help you get this off your mind.
Oh, yes. Well, Vicky, I may have to work at the water department.
Oh, what could you be doing at the water department on New Year's Eve?
Well, with all those parties going on, they use a lot of water. Yeah, I'll be in touch with you.
I'll be as close as your telephone.
Yeah. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Throckmorton.
Oh, Peavy, I don't know why that woman keeps after me.
Neither do I.
I guess it's just because there aren't many eligible men around.
That could explain it.
Well, I have to get her off my neck somehow. I have a date with Catherine New Year's Eve. Who's that?
Looks like your neighbor, Mr. Bullard, parking his Cadillac out front.
Look at that stuffed shirt. Bumping those other cars around to make room for his.
Yeah, he made it.
I think he's coming in here, Peavy.
Good. Mr. Bullard's a big spender.
Good morning, Peavy.
Well, hello, Mr. Bullard.
Oh, hello, Gildersleeve.
Hello, Mr. Bullard. You were a little rough on that car out there, weren't you?
Was I?
It's none of my business.
True.
What if you dented his fender?
I'd buy him a new car.
You.
I wish he'd dent my fender.
Give me a box of Coronas, Peavy.
Very well. You care for a box, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, thanks, Peavy.
I'll give him a cigar. It's Christmas.
I'll take two. New Year's is coming up.
Have a nice Christmas, did you, Mr. Bullard?
On the contrary. With Marshall at Harvard and little Craig away at school, I was very lonely.
It is too bad.
I looked at myself in the mirror while shaving, said Merry Christmas, and that's all there was to it.
Well, at least I had Mrs. Peavy to look at.
You're a very lucky man, Peavy.
Well, now, maybe I am.
For me, I suppose New Year's Eve will be just as uneventful.
New Year's Eve? Mm. Say, there's no reason for a wealthy widower like you to be lonely on New Year's Eve.
What's this, Gildersleeve?
Why don't we ring out the old year together, Bullard? We'll get a table at the Palm Room.
Just you and me?
No, we'll get dates.
Dates, Gildersleeve?
Ladies.
But I haven't given a thought to anything but stocks and bonds for the past 7 years. I don't have a lady to escort.
Well, I have too many. Yeah, I mean, I'd be glad to introduce you to one of the attractive girls I know.
The alligator woman?
Well, what do you say, Mr. Billy?
Well, it's an idea, Gildersleeve.
You bet. New Year's Eve, charming company, balloons, beautiful music.
Yes, yes. Perhaps I should start 1951 by breaking out of my cocoon and living a little.
Good. Now you just leave everything to me.
Thank you, Gildersleeve. It's very nice of you to share your friends with a lonely man. Very unselfish of him, isn't it, Peavy?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Peavy!
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a moment. These hurried days, when you're busy with holiday plans, you probably have need of a lunch or supper main dish you can fix as quickly and easily as possible. So let Velveeta be your handy helper. Kraft's pasteurized processed cheese food, Velveeta, can help you many wonderful ways. You can slice it thick for hot sandwiches with a delicious cheese flavor, toasted till Velveeta is melted to a bubbling gold, then topped off with slices of broiled tomatoes and strips of crisp bacon. Now, that's an easy dish that's tempting and really good. for Velveeta has a grand cheddar cheese flavor, one that's rich and yet delightfully mild. And sandwiches you make with Velveeta are good for the folks, too, good for all of them, from the preschoolers all the way up to grandma, because Velveeta is so rich in important food values from milk that everybody needs. And it's digestible, just as digestible as milk itself. Put Velveeta on your shopping list tonight and make Velveeta your handy helper all through these busy days to slice thick for hearty hot or cold sandwiches, to spread for snacks, and to melt for a smooth as velvet cheese sauce. Just be sure you get genuine Velveeta. Remember, there's only one Velveeta, and it's made only by Kraft.
Does that bring back fond memories, Lisa?
Velveeta?
Kraft. You worked for Kraft for years, right?
I was specifically on
with Philadelphia brand. Yeah, but yeah, Lisa worked for Kraft Foods.
No, I did the advertising for Kraft. I worked for
J. Walter
Thompson.
You worked for J. Walter, but that was
product.
Okay, so she worked for J. Walter Thompson. That's pretty cool.
I'm pretty cool.
I mean, you know, marketing genius that you are.
I moved on. After Philadelphia Brand Cream Cheese, I moved to another company and worked for NutraSweet for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah?
So maybe that's why you're so sweet.
That's why.
Stop it. You're feeding him. Stop it. You're no pun intended, because it's a Kraft thing.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think it's fascinating that you worked for J. Walter Thompson, and you had Kraft.
Well, I went to school for a long time to get that job.
She never ate Philadelphia brand cream cheese ever in her life.
No.
But she was the marketing person on that.
That was my
little
secret.
She was probably like, ooh, I love it. Yeah, Kraft cheese. Mm.
I do like cheese. I just don't like cream cheese.
But you know what they got their money's worth, though, because throughout your whole life, you've made millions and millions of boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese for your kids.
That's true.
Because this is about the only thing Lisa knows how to cook.
That's partly true.
She's really good at dialing the number, though.
I'm not the best cook,
food.
But, you know.
Are you better at baking than cooking?
No, she...
Not so much.
But you know what? Not everybody's... Lisa's great at everything else. She's just not the best cook.
Well, I know that.
That's okay.
You know, like with my aunt.
She's great at everything else,
though. My aunt doesn't like cooking and isn't a great cook, but she loves baking, like making desserts and
stuff. I don't think it's that I'm not a great cook. I just don't like to do it.
You know,
I'll bet you if she liked it, I bet you would be good at it if you liked it, though.
Yeah, I just don't like
because
food
pretty
that
much,
much.
Everything she does, she's really good at. But
I'm not a food person.
When she has invited me over to her house, she orders food.
No. I cooked for you last time.
No, you didn't. Dan cooked for me.
No. I went to the store, bought everything,
you didn't
and got
cook.
It.
Yes, Dan cooked it.
No, that's not true. He put it on the grill for
well,
you.
He
I got
it.
Everything
he cooked
ready.
It.
Okay. That's the last time he
you know,
invited
Lisa,
over.
I love you very much. But do you know
but.
How...
But.
Do you know how always a butt.
Do you know how Lisa calls her family to dinner?
On the phone?
No. Come on, guys. Everyone in the car.
Okay.
Going to McDonald's or
I don't go to
Kentucky
McDonald's,
Fried Chicken.
But I'm always happy with a pizza.
Yeah, she does like pizza. All right, let's take a break for news. It is 1:32 in the morning.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I got to say, Curtis is doing a great job. He's never produced our show. It's the first time he's produced a show.
Are you talking about Bill Curtis or Curtis Koch?
Curtis Koch. And you know what? I mean, he has never produced our show.
The comparisons are pretty similar.
Yes, they are.
Same. Your voice
is legendary.
Yeah, true.
And he came in here and he's just knocked it out of the park.
Well,
great
they, would,
job,
they wouldn't give Dave Plyer a lousy producer, although there are really no lousy producers here at WGN.
No.
So they go
good.
From
my,
great
my
to better.
My first few shifts, I got to say, ever since I've been filling in for a lot more people with the holidays and stuff, my first few shifts were just disasters now in comparison.
Well, now you got those out of the way,
yeah,
so
exactly.
You're good to go.
Yeah, but our show is a little tricky because there's different, but you know,
there's different
the classic
but,
radio
but we're
shows,
very nice to
the,
work with, right?
Yeah, well, everybody here is nice to
well,
work
with.
Yeah, but some people are nicer than others.
I thought you were going to say it was pretty tricky because of Carl.
Well, I think that's the biggest hurdle.
Oh, hello. Yeah, he does fit right in.
But
oh,
we're
man.
Nicer than some of the others.
See, here's the thing. I haven't met everybody. Like, that's
right.
The thing. I've only met, like, a few people, like, here and there. And everybody's like, oh, you're producing me next week. I am. And then next thing you know, I'm meeting everybody else around the station. So, yeah.
I'll tell you what. You're doing a great job.
One of the first times
yeah.
When I first started training here.
Great job.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. Really? We're so happy.
I mean, really appreciate you, that how you know what to hit. I wouldn't know what I'm doing in there, that's for sure. And I've been here 3 years.
Almost.
I wouldn't. I mean, I just got lucky and hit the right button to put the person on the phone.
On the phone.
I've never put a person on air.
Thankfully, that wasn't like the panic button or anything like that. Yeah, otherwise, we'd be in real trouble.
Or the eject Lisa button, you know, like on James Bond car. Flying out, right? There's one of those.
They have those on the Jetsons, too, don't
That's
they?
True, they do.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're listening to The Great Gildersleeve. Let's go back now to December 27th, 1950. Willard Waterman as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Well, as the old year wanes, The Great Gildersleeve has many things to be thankful for. Not the least of which is getting his neighbor, Mr. Bullard, to take Vicky Chase off his hands New Year's Eve. Now he's bragging about his clever maneuvering as he drives Judge Hooker home.
Pretty shrewd of me, eh, Judge?
Well, it's nice of you to share your lady friends, Gilda.
Yeah, of course, they'd both rather be with me. Even I'll pair off with Catherine and let Vicky have Bullard. What do you think of that?
I think Vicky's getting the best of the deal.
Sure. You can't rip me, Horace. This whole thing has worked out wonderfully. And I'm the one who worked it out.
I hope so, Gilday. But Runson Bullard is a handsome man with wealth and position. What if he decides he likes your little nurse better than he likes Miss Chase?
Why, George, if he does, he'll need a nurse.
Well, Rumson is competitive by nature. He takes what he wants, and he usually wants what the other man has.
He wouldn't dare.
Gilday! Why are you turning around?
Yeah, I'm going by Catherine's house. I'm going to make it clear she's going with me. Judge, you wait here.
No, I'll go in with you.
But I'll only be a minute.
It'll take longer than that. I see she has mistletoe over the door.
Yoper.
Hello there.
Hello, Catherine.
Good afternoon, Miss Belford. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Judge. I thought I'd better come out and see why you two didn't come in.
Well, I just stopped by to make it clear about tonight.
Make what clear?
He wants to tell you that he'll be your beau. And that his other girlfriend can have Mr. Bullard.
Judge!
Oh, Throckmorton, you're so amusing.
Isn't it?
Well, Catherine, I just wanted to make it clear that you'll be with me.
Of course, Throckmorton. I naturally assumed that.
Great. Bye. Everything's rosy.
Well, here's Mr. Bullard.
Bullard? Why is he stopping?
Hello, Gildersleeve. Judge.
Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Good afternoon.
I'm glad I saw you, Gildersleeve. I bought a new car just for this evening.
Well, fine.
Isn't it beautiful?
Gildy, aren't you going to introduce Miss Milford?
Yeah, I guess I'd better. Miss Milford, you remember Mr. Bullard?
Yes, how do you do?
How do you do, Miss Milford?
He'll be at our table this evening. With his date.
Oh, are you going to be with us, Miss Milford?
With me.
Well, this looks like a jolly party Gildersleeve has arranged.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Doesn't it, Gilday?
All right, Judge. Well, goodbye, Bullard. See you tonight.
Oh, yes, indeed. And I'm looking forward to seeing Miss Milford.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Miss Milford.
Goodbye.
Bye, Gildersleeve.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Judge.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Milford.
You said goodbye.
Here's your tuxedo vest, Miss Gildersleeve.
Thank you, Bertie.
Now you're all set for the night.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you don't sound very happy for New Year's Eve.
Well, I... My vest's getting a little frayed around the watch pocket.
Yes, I stitched it as best I could.
Yeah, I suppose that Bullard will be wearing a new tuxedo to go with his new car.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I believe that man's got you worried.
Bertie, I'm not worried.
No, sir.
Actually, I very cleverly arranged it so that he's helping me out.
Yes, sir.
He's taking Miss Chase off my hands so I can be with Miss Milford.
Yes.
The fact that he was attracted to Miss Milford doesn't mean that she likes him.
No, sir.
What if she does? That doesn't worry me.
No, sir. Competition's good for a man.
Yeah, that's right, Britt.
And you got it.
Now, Bertie.
Yes, sir, you've got new competition.
Yeah, all right, Bertie.
Tonight you're going to ring out the old year by bringing in new competition. Yes, sir, tonight you're going to ring out the old year by bringing in new competition.
Bertie, please.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you know what you're going to do tonight?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right, you're going to ring out the old year by bringing in new competition.
What's going on, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Unky, what was Bertie laughing at?
Me? In my competition?
Oh, poor Unky. I wouldn't worry about Mr. Bullard liking Catherine.
Yeah, I'm not, Marjorie. But I'll worry if Catherine likes him. What are you laughing at, Ronald?
You have no problem, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You haven't I?
When I was courting Marge, I was faced with a very similar situation.
You?
A fellow named Wally Hoff thought he sort of liked Marge.
Oh, Bronco.
Until I pretended I liked his girl. Then Wally sprang back to her like a rubber band.
So that's what you were up to.
Well, it worked, didn't it, Marge, honey? Any regrets?
Oh, of course not, darling.
You may have something there, Bronco.
Yes, sir. The way I see it, Mr. Gildersleeve, Mr. Bullard's interested in Miss Milford because you are.
You grabby neighbor.
Now, if you pretend you're interested in Aunt Vicky, he'll try to beat you out there.
He might?
That's his Achilles heel.
He's a heel, all right. If I play up to his date, no, I wouldn't stoop to that. Oh, wouldn't I? Come on, Catherine. We'll lead the way. Follow us, Bullard. Vicky.
All right.
Very well. Yeah, our table's in that dark corner.
Isn't the palm room lovely tonight?
Yeah. You're lovely too, Catherine. You don't mind if I'm not too attentive tonight. I'm using psychology.
Psychology?
Yeah, I'm setting a bear trap with a blonde.
What's this, Gildersleeve?
I was just wondering if the bear backs will be tickled by the palm.
Oh, you would think of that, Throckmorton. Oh, isn't he a lot of fun at a party, Mr. Bullard?
That remains to be seen.
You sit here, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bullard, You over there, under the coconuts.
Thank you, Gildersleeve.
And you here, Vicky. Why, you're beautiful this evening.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're a flatterer.
You know I'm not. You're lovely. Take the word of the water commissioner.
Drain pipe, Casanova. Miss Milford?
Yes?
You're even more captivating tonight than you were this afternoon.
Oh, Mr. Bullard.
Vicky is more captivating tonight than she's ever been.
Oh? Miss Milford, do your duties as a nurse allow you much time for recreation?
Well, I'm afraid I spend most of my time at the hospital.
Uh-huh. How does a man in perfect health get admitted to your hospital?
Oh, brother, I'd better get busy here. Vicky, would the charming Miss Chase care to dance?
Why, I'd love to.
Ah, it's a grand evening, Gildersleeve. I've never enjoyed myself so much.
Yeah, I can see that. Vicky, I don't want to take you away from Mr. Bullard, but you're such a good dancer.
Well, he doesn't seem to mind.
No, he doesn't. He spent all evening mumbling sweet nothings to Catherine.
Mr. Bullard.
Well, <it's> true. Yeah, sure. Your Ronco psychology had better start working. Mr. Bullard?
What?
I say, Vicky and I are going to dance again. Unless you'd like to dance with her. she took from Arthur Murray.
Well, go right ahead, Gildersleeve. We'll sit this one out.
Well, shall we sit with them, Vicky?
Well, perhaps we should, Throckmorton. We haven't been too sociable except with each other.
Well, they haven't been very sociable either.
You know, for a man to be lonely.
He certainly is an attractive man. I enjoyed the one time he danced with me.
You're fine. I wonder what they're talking about.
Catherine, I want you to know this, then.
I've got to get him interested in Vicky. Maybe he'd take notice if I started mumbling to her.
Vicky, I do boogie boogie.
Throckmorton, what are you mumbling about?
I don't know, but it isn't working.
What isn't working?
I'm trying to hear something.
Someone like you.
Oh, Rumson, you're just saying
no. That. No, it's Rumson. No. I wish a coconut had fallen his head.
I promise that I can see you very soon, Catherine.
Well. Yeah, George has gone far enough. Uh-huh. Bullard!
What now, Gildersleeve?
I'd like to have a word with you in private.
Gildersleeve, if it's about the check, stop worrying. I'll pay it.
It isn't about the check. Please step behind the palms.
Very well. Excuse me, Catherine. Miss Chase?
Oh, of course. Is anything wrong, Throckmorton?
Nothing I can't handle. Come on, Bullard.
Gildersleeve, let go of my lapel.
Bullard, prepare to defend yourself.
From what?
From me. You're trying your best to steal Catherine.
I'm stealing Catherine? I was to have escorted Vicky to this party, and what have you been doing? You've monopolized her the entire evening.
Yeah, all right.
Did you expect me to talk to the palm trees?
No, just a minute, Bullard. You weren't just talking to Catherine. You were flirting.
You were being pretty cute with Vicky, too.
Well, I had a reason.
So did I.
You did?
Oh, if you're so stupid that I have to explain it to you, Gildersleeve, I've been trying to make you jealous.
Me?
Jealous enough so you'd take an interest in your own date.
Wait a minute. That's what I've been trying to get you to do.
Then you've been waiting to dance with Catherine?
And you've been waiting to dance with Vicky? I thought you didn't care for her.
Perish the thought, Gildersleeve. Vicky and I have a great deal in common. We both like money.
Uh-oh. 12 o'clock, Gildersleeve. I'll see you later. Oh, Miss Chase, Vicky, here comes Rumson.
You bet. And here comes Gildersleeve. Catherine!
Come in, Throckmorton. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Catherine. Kiss?
Close your eyes.
Oh, boy.
Willard Waterman steps out of his role as the great Gildersleeve
to wish you all a happy and prosperous New Year. We're glad that we have this opportunity to come into your homes and wish you all the joys and blessings of the holiday season. So, it's a happy New Year to all of you from the members of our cast. Kathy Lewis.
Katie Milford.
Shirley Mitchell.
Vicky Chase.
Gail Gordon.
Rumson Bullard.
Dick Crenna.
Bronco.
Earl Ross.
Judge Hooker.
Richard LeGrand.
Phoebe.
And now, on behalf of the National Safety Council, here's a special message from our little family. Mary Lee Robb, our Marjorie.
Let's all remember that traffic fatalities rise sharply this time of year. So keep your wits and windshields clear.
Yeah, that's right. And here's Lillian Randolph.
Bertie just wants to say don't speed. Drive slow in sleet and snow. You'll get there.
Good idea. And here's Walter Tetley, my nephew Leroy.
Ease up and I'll freeze up. Don't skid yourself.
It's very good, Leroy. So watch it, folks. We want you to be listening next year. And Happy New Year, too, from all the people behind the scenes. From Robert Armbruster and the orchestra,
Our fine writers, Paul West, John Elliott, and Andy White. From Ray Ferguson, our engineer, Monty Frazier, handling sound effects. From our producer, director, Frank Pittman, and Virgil Reimer for NBC. And of course, these holiday greetings come to you too from our sponsors, the Kraft Foods Company. Their representative on this program,
John Heaston, and the entire family of Kraft employees.
Happy New Year, everyone. Good night.
Hear the Falcon every Sunday over this station. Check your newspaper for time of broadcast and listen next Sunday as the Falcon solves the case of the Rolling Stones.
Listen for Groucho Marx next on NBC.
You know who solved the case of the Rolling Stones? Mick Jagger. That was The Great Gildersleeve, broadcast from December 27th, 1950. Willard Waterman as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve on that. And a great cast sponsored by Kraft, your old employer. Well,
not
actually,
exactly.
I know, but I mean.
Yeah, kind of.
It was your account.
True.
As heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.